Mr. Corden, Reel 9. We're talking about when your brother, John, arrived.
Yes.
How did you spend the time with him? What sort of...
The first thing next morning, the quartermaster, immediate superior, he rigged him completely out with new clothes, from top to toe, everything new, and threw the others into the bin to be cleaned. He says, now, you can forget all your duties, unless it's anything urgent. He said, you can entertain your brother for the rest of the week. So we wandered around Naples the first day, and showed him a big nappy that we got there, which was a monstrous place of about four floors. And of course, a lot of troops in Naples at that time, because they were all coming down to Naples for rest, away from the line and everything. But anyway, the one thing he wanted to go back to Salerno, because they made friends with some people there, all the REMP people, the stretcher bearers and their group. They was in the house after the second day of landing, when they got to the beaches, they were in this house, which they made that the regimental ambulance post. And they'd been in there 5 days when a little lad came up out of a door out of nowhere, and they found out that all the family, a family of 8 children, a mother and father, were in the basements of this house, and they didn't know. They'd been there 5 days, they didn't know. But anyway, they should have been evacuated, but they pleaded with the doctor that they were better staying there. The Germans had been gradually more pushing the Germans away then, and not much chance of them coming back. And they pleaded with the doctor to keep them from letting them stop there, and they'd help the doctor with his duties, which they did. And they helped the lads as well. Did all the washing, cleaned all the lads' things and everything. And they let the family stay there. Down below, they stopped the upstairs where the lads were. And of course, they were there about 8 days when they moved from there to another post. But anyway, they all made friends with this family. So anyway, he said he'd like to go out and see a little bit of Salerno, because he hadn't got to see it as they were there, the condition they were in, because there was a terrible battle with Salerno. So I couldn't have a vehicle. He said I could take motorbike, so he was on Pillion. Coming down on Pillion to Salerno, we went to visit Salerno twice. And also, when we got there, of course, he introduced me to him, his brother, and it was in raptures. We were raptures to see him. And the brother, his brother with him as well. They were all in raptures. And the family bettered themselves back in the house. Their house wasn't damaged, as it was like a lot of houses were. But there was no work, nobody. Everybody was really tidied up. Everybody was tidied up. And they'd been tidied up for weeks and weeks. But anyway, we did have a visit, a complete visit with the RHQ, filled the lorry, went to Pompeii. A full lorry load went to Pompeii, we had a good day at Pompeii.
What did you think of it?
Well, it's amazing how things have been restored there. And it opens people's eyes. Well, I mean, people are still going to see it. And it was right fascinating when we were there.
Was John a bit envious of you? Because you had a cushy job, because he was a front-line unit.
Yes,
was he envious?
He was in one respect, but he wasn't actually firing guns, as you can understand. He was the stretcher-bearer sergeant, and he was getting the wounded in and things like that, which was a bit worse than ever. Anyway, he did get the MM. He awarded the MM, and his officer, the MO, got the MC. And I've got the citation. I only got the citation this year from the Rheumatology Association. The actual citation, I've got a copy of it now. Anyway,
would you rather have been more active him, or were you happy where you were?
I was happy as I was, because if anybody wanted anything doing, they'd come to me. We put plays on them in this at Torino Seattle. We put plays on them.
Tell me about that.
In the school. We decided that things were quiet enough to start a production of a concert. So, between us and one of the officers, I forget the officer's name, but he got some kind of production up. Of course, they've got to have dancing girls, haven't they? We had to work production in any parts of armies. Always finished it with dancing girls. In terms of it, finished it with dancing girls. But we built a stage. Well, there was a stage partly built, but what we got to do is get something for curtains. So we got something rigged up for curtains. Of course, that was through my. I had to make this, that, other to make the curtains go back and forwards. And then we got to fix lights up. Well, they asked me if I could make a spotlight. Well, I made everything but a spotlight. I couldn't make a spotlight. I tried all sorts, using round tins, sewed it together, put a bulb in, but I couldn't make a spotlight. But anyway, we did have concert. They invited all the gun sites. We put the show on two nights, and they invited the gun sites, and we filled the room. But it was our bedroom, actually. We put all the beds to one side, and fixed chairs, and no chairs and stuff on the floor. And we put a bit of a show on, which...
What were the acts like? Did you do anything?
No, I was stage manager.
So what acts did they have?
Well, there were one or two good singers, which you always get singers. There were always comedians. And as I said, we had six dancing girls. And they were all painted up and dressed up to nines. But it went down well.
Anything else you did to keep yourself amused?
We had one or two photographs taken there, and in fact, the only time I've ever been taken on my motorbike was at Torino's Theatre. But once in the riding gear, just all the kit. I got the helmet on and thing, but I had my photograph taken on the motorbike. Still got one of those around somewhere. But we were there, and eventually we moved to the opposite side of Naples. To another well-known villa of some sort, some prince or somebody, and it was overlooking the Bay of Naples in Capri.
That's quite a view, isn't it?
That was quite a view. But it was long. It was a long trek down to the water, that we could dive in without being hampered with the rocks or anything like that. It was rocky, but there was a little bit of sand around. There was all nice swims.
How did you get on with the Italian civilians, will you?
Well, the first thing, going back to Torino's Theatre, the one thing we did at Torino's Theatre was built latrines in the street, because the Italians, the dirty ones, would do it anywhere. The women always did it in the house, but the men went out, did it anywhere now. And we made these latrines in the street, and we were weeks and weeks we would get the Italians to use them. We thought it was degrading or something to use these. But anyway, eventually they get to use them. But then another time, I moved this big house. I was doing one of the patrol cars, one of the officers' cars, decarbonising, take the wheels off, put the bunch of action, then the wheels off and get the engine all the way around. Next morning, these two wheels are missing. Or sometime later than that, these two wheels are missing. So, we had to look around with a gun. None of our men had moved them, but we found traces of these wheels going through grass into trees at the back of us. So we traced these wheels, then we lost trace. And when we lost the trace, there's some flats about 20 occupants in these flats, 20 different occupants. So we went back and got one or two of the lads, got the machine guns with them, the Tommy guns, and we put some on each floor, placing all these flats, demanding these wheels. We never found the wheels, but we found gallons and gallons of petrol in cans, but we never found the wheels. But anyway, we frightened them all to death, because it was getting dark and most of them were in bed. But anyway, we hoisted them out, and we managed to search all the places. As soon as we found some cans of petrol, there was no arguing, they didn't hesitate to let us.
It was petrol stolen from your...
It was petrol stolen from, not necessarily from us, but from somewhere. But there were our petrol cans and they were full of petrol. But anyway, we never found our wheels, because I still didn't get me two wheels. So I finished up with one of the, I think it was the batman, one of the colonel's driver. He says, I know there's a dump, Sam. I know there's some cars like the one we've got. So So he went and he went to this company. He came back with two wheels. And I think it was the engine's vehicle. He was no wiser after all that. He didn't know we'd been in this building and scared everybody to death. And he didn't know we had two wheels in his vehicle. As I was dealt with. Then from there, that's where we disbanded, eventually.
Anything else happened before you disbanded? Any other?
No, there's one thing. My pal Jeff is one of his school chums, finished up, the harbour master of Naples. Civilian. Merchant Navy, but it was civilian staff. And he finished up the harbour master of Naples. And we got to know this through his mother writing to him, one thing. And then, we found out he was just walking on the ground down the road, and he invited us to a meal the next day. He says, I've got to give you my cup warning. And he got to, we went to this house, and it was a princess's house. The finest thing we'd ever seen. Marvellous house, and the princess and her maid was living in the basement of this particular place, and he had one of her maids. And she didn't mind at all, as long as she kept in her own place. There was a lovely sunken swimming pool in the middle of this place, all marble. Everything with gold taps and everything on. Marvellous place it was. But anyway, we had our meal there, and the meat, what this cook didn't do with the bully beef was nobody's business. It was a smashy meal, and all done out of army rations. And the tenors were good cooks and them, I gather. But anyway, he had a good servant. He was cook, servant, and what, everything to this man. And we didn't see him all after that. We only went that once, because he moved his office, and he spent lots of his time down at the docks, because he got very busy. But he was moving soon after, anyway.
Now, in August 1944, you were disbanded, I think. Did you realise why you were disbanded and what was happening?
Yes, we were disbanded because there was no use for the anti-aircraft around Naples or in any of the Italian campaign on our side of the ground. All they wanted was light attack further inland. And there was no further use for the heavy attack. So apart from us, there were the others somewhere around all disbanded. But we were disbanded, but we were given option of where to go. Because my first thought was my brother. He's in Italy, I might as well join him. No, it wasn't going home, anything like that.
What were the other choices?
Well, I'd live where you were sent. Now, my pal Jeff, he knows no choice. He just had to go see no trade. He didn't know what to do, so he said, I'll just go as they want to send me. I went to the infantry training camp at Caserta, which is a bit more north of Naples, and that was a huge camp. And Jeff went to another camp, and he went in the signals. And I didn't see Noah then after that, after we left there, and I saw him. Once he came to Caserta, he found this camp, he checked to this camp, and spent a couple of nights in the tent with me, and he went back, and I didn't see him more at war. But anyway, they told me I'd got to go and have infantry training to join the infantry, to be in our race.
Now, what was the training like? What did it take you through?
Normal drill, which we've been in all the time, foot drill on the square, and manoeuvres in the hills. This Caserta, Brazil, all in the back.
What sort of manoeuvres were you doing there?
Well, staying out all night, how to look after yourself. And that's ridiculous. We went up in these hills and there was always snow on. There was snow on these hills, and it was a time when chestnuts were falling. That's why we were digging these little trenches. We had to dig our own trenches, not use other people's. We'd been manoeuvring before, we'd dig our own little trenches. We did, and we stopped nighting then, and we survived with the normal 24-hour rations of the all-in-one little square box, plus chestnuts that were all around us. And we did a few live ammunition projects up in the house.
What were they like? Because you.
No, very scary. I mean, we were firing across our trenches and everything, but we were told not to worry because they were well above our end. Of course, you never know. But anyway, nobody got hurt.
What about weapons training? What did they train you in there? What?
Well, in my particular case, all we had was the brain gun and the rifle. I never had a carrier brain gun or anything. I was told gun. I always had a rifle, nothing else. Only had a rifle.
And how did you take to the rifle and brain gun training?
Well, we'd done it on the square way back in 1939. So, we'd always had a little bit in between. The main thing that shook us a bit was the training with the mines.
Tell me about that. What was that?
Well, that was very rough because you have to be very, very careful with mines. Because they're all live. They're no dummy mines, not abroad. They're all live mines that had the masterpiece taken out, of course. But anyway...
So what did you do? What was the training?
Well, how to dismantle mines if you got stuck on our own, or how to keep away from them. As you're going along the ground, look out for items. Because they had these mines in the ground, but they weren't alive. And you've got to find these and avoid them, not try to dig them out, avoid them. And put in the white lines to go between.
Anything else about the training?
Well, one thing that we did do, we did guards, because we had a prison camp there. Not a prison camp for German prisoners, but our own prisoners that had been defaulted and sent to this camp. And I don't know how this prison area has got barbed wire, it has got tin rattles, it has got booby traps on the wire that exploded fireworks. But every night there was somebody got out of this camp and escaped, and God knows how he got out. We could never find out how he got out. I know I was on guard one night. There was a sergeant, myself, I was a corporal, and eight others. And somehow, somewhere, we lost two here in the night. And we never got to know where. Because of different guards, there were no permanent guards all the time. So they were all fresh people coming into the camp, in and out of the camp, day in and day out, coming from hospital, picked up by the Red Cats and all that, but mostly from hospital and from Red Cats and defaulted.
So you were there?
This is our home, going in for training.
So how long were you there for? From August to.
From August, and then we set off down to. Toronto. I knew then that the 16th was in.
That would be December, would it?
Yeah, in December. I knew the 16th was in Austria.
In Greece,
in December. So I had letters from my brother and just an idea where they were and what he said. But anyway, we went down to Toronto. We went up to a railway station at Capua. And from there, I think it was 3 days to get down to Toronto in cattle trucks. And that was the worst experience of our life.
What was it like?
It was terrible. I mean, the cattle trucks slide indoors, but open at the top. That was to let air in for the cattle and for us. All that in the summer. All right. In the daytime, but now, a bit cold. So eventually, after the first night, not sleeping, and of course, we were stood inside this for a long time. Every day. I don't know why, but anyway, we were still in silence. So we got some steel plates, put them on the bottom of this truck, and made some fires out of hay or can, tins, oil drums or something, and we had fires in all the time. And so they didn't get on fire. There was always somebody awake. We never let anybody go to sleep, or we got to sleep. We've got to watch so they didn't get sit on fire. But in ours and the next one on either side of us, we got fired at night. And for tea, we went to engine driver out of the old ejector. Make tea from hot water out of the ejector. But when we were travelling, we had water on the fire, of course. Whenever we stopped, we dashed up to engine. That's not water something. But it was there 3 days. And we got down to Toronto, into another transit camp. And there I had some shocking news. I saw the oak tree, I saw the York and Lanks, and I knew my cousin, I had a cousin of the York and Lanks, so I'd seen him when I took my brother back to the front line after he stayed with us. I saw his cousin, and he was in York and Lanks, for the 6 days. And I asked him these fellows if they knew John Cooks. He wouldn't answer me. Anyway, another fellow came in, oh, I said, he'll tell you. I turned around and said, a lad I went to school with. And he knew my cousin. He knew who he was, and anything. And this particular man was Brigadier's van driver, car driver. And he told me that he'd come out of line and be blown up along with 20 other more in a bomb school, in a mine school. And they instructed on mines and all that went up. The only people that was cleared was the officer. He lived, but he lost a leg, an arm, and one eye. The sergeant lived off both his legs. And of course, what about? But I think it was 22 NCOs lost their lives. So a lot went up. We got mines, and of course, as I told you earlier, always did the exercises with mines. Because after the infantrymen come out of the line, all the NCOs went on what they called an RSM's card, which is an RSM school, to see what they'd done wrong and what they could do to put things right when they went back in line again. And that was regular. As soon as they came out of line, before they had any rest, all the NCOs went onto this school for 1 or 2 days and decided that later on with went on a, what we call the RSM's card. But anyway, that's what I heard. Then he said, hey, I've got some more news for you, Sam. He says, your John's just round the corner. You know that? He said, that's what he's doing. He says, what's he been doing? He says, the hospital chief just got and he's come off it. He was taking sick in Athens because they couldn't tend to him. Anybody hurt or injured straight onto the hospital boat in the harbour. And he finished up, so he took me to him. And he just found out. He just told my brother the same he was telling me. And that's the first my brother knew. And he was having his heart out in his place. Because when he saw me, he knew different again. And then from on, that's when I joined John in Toronto. Well, we had, I think, 5 days in Toronto. We found out where the pitch place was, because in the transit camp, we was all the nights off. You didn't want to be running about transit camp at night if there's anything you could go and entertain yourself. So we found out there's a nice English film one, 2 Girls and a Sailor, I think it's called, or 3 Girls and a Sailor. I saw that flicker film about 6 times, so we might see it again. But anyway, we went there, we were in queue, made the pictures, and we found an uncle of ours. And I forget what regiment he was in, but he spotted us. In queue, we were in queue to go into pitch, and he's looking for some of the ideas in queue. He spotted us. That's another amazing story. Uncle, we're out in Italy. But anyway, after those few days at Toronto, we were put on board infantry troop ships, not the big troop ships, the ones that they take out for landing exercises. With it ladders up the sides. And we set off then for Greece. But we didn't go to Athens. We went to a place called Patras, which is one of the little islands south of Athens. And that's where I met Mr. Stringer, Major Stringer. He was on the same boat as us, and they were all Durham's that were on this particular boat. And he was in charge of it. He'd just come out of hospital. I found out afterwards. I didn't know. I thought he'd gone purposely to pick us up. No, but he'd come out of hospital, going back to the regiment. So, right, take this bundle of men with you, so to speak. And he did.
How many of you were there?
Could be about 30. About 30 of us. And we landed at Patras. on the beach, just this boat to land on the beach, went down the steps, not straight on the beach, not in the water. I mean, he went tied up, so he get getting wet. We only go up when he land on the water when he landed making the invasion. But this particular time, he landed on the dry ground. And another officer met us and gave us a lecture of what not to do and what to do and what not to do in the trust.
What sort of things was he telling you?
Well, about the women keep away from the barbed wire, or all the women being put inside barbed wire, or the loose women being put inside barbed wire. There's only one entrance, that was through the actual gate, and that was out of bounds to troops. Well, more for media, because it weren't controlling it then at that particular time. But anyway, that was on the beach. And while he's telling us, there's two women on the roof of their particular house and performing all sorts of things for our benefit. Amazing. But anyway, he took us to the rest of the camp. And I think we had 3 days there. And because the resistance had finished in Patras area, all that area, the resistance had finished 2 or 3 days before. But we weren't sure about what the reception would be in Athens, that's why we went to Patras. Anyway, after about 3 days and the nights, all was out in the town, honky tonks, we called them.
What were they like?
Well, women showing wanting everything. And the fight with drinks, anything you wanted, of course you could buy them one. But there's always coloured water, I think, from what I gathered. But they're all loose women in these honky tonks, like, just like you see on the pictures, name fitted. We call them honky tonks, what they were called, but we call them honky tonks. Anyway, after about 3 days, I set up then, we joined the remainder at Athens. That was a central point we could make for. And we crossed the Corinth. Now, I don't remember the bridge over the Corinth Canal. I thought it hadn't been destroyed, but seemingly, from what I've heard since, and then in our history, the bridge was destroyed over the Corinth Canal. But all the bridges leading up the Corinth Canal that we passed were all destroyed, and we didn't ride on the road because it was all dry ground. The roads were made at the side of the, because it was dry, there was no water or anything. But anyway, we went over the Corinth Canal, as I thought, over the proper bridge, but meaning since, the bridge had been blown by this Elas, whatever it was, causing the trouble in Greece. And we eventually arrived at Athens, by this Major String was in charge of us. Now, I didn't know then, but my brother knew, he was B Company commander. And he dropped us off. We all designated we dropped off at HQ. That's me, my brother, and I think two more other single people. Dropped us off there and went on to his destination. Wherever his destination was, I don't know. But he went to join his company and take his other men. And that was our start of Athens.
What did you think of Laurie Stringer when you first met him?
Well, he's a normal commander, a new commander, as I saw it. I don't know whether he was a pre-war soldier, even that impression was a pre-war, this had gone through Sandhurst or what, not to give you that impression. But he wasn't behind the door as a regard soldier, that's the impression I got of him.
So now you were dropped, where was the RHQ exactly?
The RHQ, I don't know, the name of the village, it'd be about 6 to 7 miles in between Piraeus and Athens, because Piraeus is the port of Athens, isn't it? Between there, in the little area, village,